to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, really angry talk show host.
And it's Friday night, and I'm Doug, and I'm sitting in here with Bob, and he's his ears are smoking.
It's Friday night, and I'm not going to the movies.
You're mad.
I am mad.
Well, what's the problem?
AOL, Time Warner, Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah, well.
And these filthy perverts who made this Matrix Reloaded movie. I am so angry because, you know, the first Matrix, we saw it, our kids saw it. It's, you know, it's a crazy movie, but it's fun, very exciting.
Yeah.
It brought current effects to a new level, which is fun if you're into technical things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the new movie, I've got here a description on screenit.com.
Screenit.com, that they'll tell you.
They'll tell you what's in the movie, how much profanity, you know, violence. And the thing we look at the most to see if a movie's acceptable is sex and nudity.
Yeah.
And I am just so angry at, because Doug, there's tens of millions of young kids that are going to see this movie within the first week.
Oh, yeah.
Young kids.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like this movie will bring the acceptable level of young kids and sensuality to yet another low.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, this is, I've got screenit.com here and their movie review.
All right, let it rip. Let's hear what's happening.
Well, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to describe it with the details they have, but the two main characters, apparently there's a shot. This was also on MSNBC, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about, is this appropriate for kids? Even on NBC.
Even NBC thought maybe it wasn't appropriate.
Even on MSNBC. And the two main characters, there's a sex scene for a couple minutes where they're naked in bed. You know, there's not blatant nudity, but they're having sex in the scene for a minute or two.
That's unnecessary. That's gratuitous and unnecessary.
It's despicable. Yeah. You know, you sit there with your 14-year-old kid and watch two people have sex.
No, that would be very, very uncomfortable. I can't imagine that.
And in a theater with 500 young kids, everybody watching the main couple having sex.
Yeah, and the producers love it. They love the thought of 500 teenagers in the theater watching that.
Yeah, and if it were me, I would like it if God killed all of them. Every last one of them.
All right.
Just killed them, just for this. I don't care what else they've done in their lives. And then intercut. Here, I could read it from screenit.com. It's right in front of me.
All right.
At the same time as that scene, intercut with that scene, this is the scene that I think Newsweek, was it, called an orgy scene.
An orgy scene.
That's what they called it.
That's great.
Throngs of people sensually grinding their bodies together, shots of see-through clothing.
That's really deep, and that's cutting-edge stuff, boy. Those guys are real creative there.
Yeah, and it goes on. There's other stuff. There are references to stuff I don't want to even mention on the air.
Yeah.
So just I'm just so disgusted with Hollywood and the Matrix.
But what's it rated?
It's rated R. But now you know why the first one was rated R?
Violence.
If you have a kung fu movie with a kick to the head,
yeah,
it's automatically rated R.
Even if you're kicking the bad guy in the head?
Yeah. Rated R.
Well,
so we don't care about that. We will let our kids see, let's say, Patton.
Right.
You know,
pretty violent.
We'll skip the first minute where Patton
the
cusses.
The soliloquy?
Yeah.
You skip that part?
Where he cusses to the bunch of guys in the military.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, you're Nicole. She's not like 8 years old yet.
No, no. But still, I mean, she's at this mimic stage.
Oh, right.
So the last thing you want to have is for her to hear Patton's speech.
Yeah, right. How old is Nicole?
She's 21 months old.
Oh, she's really getting up there.
Yeah, she's cute, but I'm not going to let her go to the movies. That's for sure.
Good for you. And also the previews. When we go to a movie with the kids, which isn't that often, but when we go, we either stay outside the theater until the previews are over, just in the hallway. Or if it's going to be filled up, then we go in and my kids have to suffer and look like morons because everybody's got to look down or backwards during the previews. And that's it, because the previews are little porn
Yeah. I would say, Bob, that if you're to that point, you should just give up on the movies.
Just give up.
I mean, going anyways.
Yeah. Well,
rent them from can't you rent edited versions?
Cleanfilm.com.
Yeah, that's the thing to do.
Clean Films. What is it called? Cleanfilms.com. You know, we just signed up for this.
Oh, yeah?
We just signed up. They're actually, through the disgust with this Matrix, we just signed up, and they've got, for example, the original Matrix, and they've got hundreds of movies where, you know, you could have a fun movie, entertaining movie, even a good moral-to-the-story movie, but with some gratuitous sex in it or nudity.
Right.
And so they edit that out, and they copy their edited version onto a DVD, which sounds...
That sounds like they should be sued.
It sounds, well, they are.
Oh, they are being sued. All right. So they must be doing the right thing.
Hollywood doesn't like it. But they've got, their argument is this. They say if you sell a book and we buy the book and we don't like a page in it, we could tear it out.
Sure. Yeah, you could.
And so as long as we're not making copies of your material, they buy it and they edit it, and for each one copy they buy, they'll sell an edited copy.
Hmm. Now, how do they make any money on the deal?
Well, they charge you.
Well, but
you could buy these. It costs like an extra $10 over the retail price.
Okay.
Or you could rent them from cleanfilms.com.
Okay. All right. I can see there's lawyers out there just salivating right now, just waiting to get in on this one.
These lawsuits have been going on for a few years.
Yeah.
At least a couple years. It's actually very interesting. Okay. So that's The Matrix.
Gee,
and
what
I'm
a bummer.
Just disgusted.
Yeah. What a bummer.
Because I would have taken our kids tonight, Friday night, after the show.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not going to happen now.
No.
That's a drag.
No.
Yeah.
And our kids are getting old. We have the young kids and the old kids.
Right.
And our older kids, there are plenty of people who will say, oh, your dad doesn't want you to go see, we'll come with us.
Yeah.
And then we have to kill those people.
Right. And it's your older boys who are probably more in danger by that kind of garbage.
Yeah.
Than the younger guys.
Yeah. And the parents especially.
But so I'm listening to Michael Medved.
Yeah.
Right? Michael Medved is
a movie
reviewer.
Yeah.
In order to be a movie reviewer and a moral person,
you can't.
That's a mutually exclusive territory.
You can't. Michael Medved airs on conservative Christian radio stations.
Yes, he does.
He's a non-believer.
That's right.
And he's really pretty liberal in a lot of ways.
Oh,
homosexuality.
Yeah, he's a...
And anyway, he thinks nudity and sensuality in movies is just fine because apparently he likes looking at naked
other
women.
Sure he does. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he does, because I forget what movie he was reviewing, but he said, it's not for the kids, because there is a lot of sex, but what a great movie.
So, guys, go ahead. You might not want to take your wives, but enjoy your night out. Listener-supported radio right here on Bob and Yart Live, and our phone number, not only can you call in, but you can sign up for our monthly video. And, Doug, these videos have no X-rated scenes in them.
No.
These are Bob and Yart Live produced videos.
Yeah, they don't have to be edited.
For $24.95 a month.
There is a moral to the story in a lot of them, though.
There is. That's right.
That. Yeah.
And you call up 1-800-836-9278. No shipping and handling charge. For $24.95 a month, you get a video a month, Mount Moriah on the resurrection, God and the death penalty, a Bible tour of Israel, Get Out of the Matrix.
Get Out of the Matrix.
It's a classic.
Now that movie, now that I've seen. I haven't seen The Matrix.
Get Out of the Matrix. Has anyone in the studio audience seen Get Out of the Matrix? Is it any good?
Classic.
Two thumbs up.
A room full of Keanu Reeves doing battle with
funny.
Bob Enyart on relative morality. And
100 Agent Smiths. It is really a funny video. And so anyway, these are an example of the videos.
And you get one every
month
for $25 a month?
Live from Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun video. Just a parade of liberals.
A parade of liberals doing battle, debating.
It's all fighting, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Morality, why God forbids sexual immorality.
That's a classic.
And Bob debates predestination. That's sort of like a Matrix thing, too.
Yeah, that
Matrix,
guy's in the Matrix.
They can't figure out if it's fate or if it's all
That's right.
If everything, or if there's free will, they can't
figure
it out.
Yeah.
So anyway, Keanu.
So how do people sign up? They call 800-836-9278. Give a credit card number.
Yeah. Or go to kgov.com. Either way, kgov.com on the web, or call us at 800-836-9278. All right, so Doug, and there are more videos here. Video fruitcake.
Video fruitcake is great.
That is funny.
That's from the TV show, right? Segments.
Yeah.
With some of the fruitiest, cakiest, wackiest callers. Stupidest.
Yeah, and a lot of the videos are confrontational.
Yeah, there are some confrontational.
I'll give you some of the confrontational ones. Bob on drugs. That's when a heroin addict called in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Confronting an atheist.
Now wait a minute. When the heroin addict called, did you direct him to his local needle exchange? I can't remember how that went.
Needles.
No wait. You confronted him, right? And you told him he was sinning.
I told him he should. Right. Yeah. Something like that.
It works
anyway,
out. Really.
It went well.
What an entertaining video.
And confronting an atheist, debating the ACLU, debating an evolutionist. Debating a homosexual. We got about a dozen confrontational videos.
And there's plenty
videos.
Of folks. There's a lot of folks like that out there. You can watch this video and it'll help you come up with good debate tactics.
So sign up for the monthly video.
Bob Enyart Live. Right here, 800-836-9278. If you want to call and participate in the program, you can render a verdict on... what's the name of the movie? The Matrix. Has anyone out there seen it? Is it possible that anyone's seen it yet, or does it open today?
Yeah, it opened up Thursday night.
So maybe someone out there in the audience maybe someone out in the audience thinks that you're being overly critical, and they could call in and talk about The Matrix.
It opened up Wednesday night. Some theaters had it on like 17 screens.
Oh, wow.
And all sold out. All 17 screens.
Yeah, that's...
In one theater. It's the biggest opening day of a movie ever, about $43 million.
Yeah, the biggest opening day. We have one of those now every 6 weeks. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that after September 11th, there was a brief period of about 2 or 3 months where everybody got serious, but now it seems like we're all,
big party.
An awful lot of people are just back into, they're going to the movies, they're living,
Doug? You know what was good about Y2K? People wanted, the world wanted to have this wild revelry of the mother of all New Year's Eve parties.
Right.
With drunkenness.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
And it never came off.
Wow. I never thought of that.
It was a colossal worldwide dud.
So Y2K put a kibosh on the fornication and just the revelry and debauchery that people were going to do.
That was one victory that the Christian Y2K prophets could count on, you know, a notch in their belt.
So we could thank them for that.
They thwarted the whole world's fornicating, drunken night.
That's interesting.
The night of the century.
But an awful lot of people just see, or movies just seem to be becoming bigger and bigger. And I don't know, maybe it's, it's probably, I don't know, I just don't do a lot of movies. But I got a movie story here that relates.
What?
That relates.
You can't top The Matrix.
There's another movie coming out. Big shock here. Another real cutting-edge, avant-garde, creative film called X-Men 2. X-Men 2.
That's out.
Oh, it's already out.
Yeah.
Well, it shows you what I know.
Yeah.
X-Men 2 is already out. These guys are so creative. Not only did they come up with X-Men, but now X-Men 2. Anyway, apparently there's a group in Los Angeles, an Islamic Muslim civil rights group called Project Hope. Mm-hmm. Project Islamic Hope. Mm-hmm. And they've accused the X-Men director of being anti-Islamic. They point out, number one, he's a Jew, right? His name is Brian Singer. They say he's Jewish.
So right there, they've got one strike against him.
That's right. First of all, he's a Jew, they say. And they say that
they're not racist, and neither
certainly.
Is the rest of the Arab world.
No, certainly not.
No.
And Islam is a religion of peace.
Right.
You know, I was with I spent last week, a good portion of last week, with my pagan uncle, Bernie.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Islam.
Yeah.
And he kept calling Muhammad the prophet. He said, well, the prophet did this, and the prophet said that, and the prophet this, and the prophet that. And then he would say that Jesus was a nice guy. Anyway, it just drove me insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, these guys say that the director was anti-Islamic because he showed the villain in the film, X-Men 2, wearing a ring with Allah inscribed on the ring. So they say he was. They say he's anti-Islamic, and so they say because the villain is Islamic. Well, it's a negative portrayal of this guy's a mad,
that's probably,
mean, evil
now villain. That's probably the most positive portrayal of Islam in the last 2 years. Doesn't matter if he's a villain in some comedy movie.
Yeah, it's the real
comic strip movie.
Yeah, it's the real
comic book. What
it's
is
the
it?
Real Islamic governing officials and people who are scary guys.
Yeah, right. They're the ones giving this actor a bad reputation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee, where they have the SARS virus in Memphis now. Two guys under house arrest.
Is that right? In Memphis.
Hey,
right,
Jeff, Memphis. Speak your mind.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Just heard you on the air talking about Matrix Reloaded, and you asked if somebody wanted to call in if they've seen it, and I have seen it.
Yeah.
Well, did you hear the analysis of the untoward content of the film? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did, and I knew exactly what you were talking about when you were talking about it.
So it's screenit.com didn't make this up. It's accurate.
It is accurate. It is. It's about a 2 minute segment of the movie, and but pretty much it's accurately portrayed as far as. Now I wouldn't go and say that it's an orgy as far as the dancing goes.
Well, I think that's what I read that, and I think it was a Newsweek Online or one of the mainstream. Maybe it was Wired. I don't remember. One of the mainstream news outlets used that word.
Right.
Yeah, and I wouldn't agree with that.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily an orgy. It was a. It was actually a celebration. As far, I mean, you saw the original Matrix, and so you know that it is. It kind of takes on some New Age religious feel to it.
Right.
Basically, what it is it's a celebration as far as how the prophecy goes, and
well, you know,
the dancing was an extension of that.
The original Matrix, part of the interest of the story, in fact, this is true of most stories that are compelling bestsellers, is that they, one way or another, are a takeoff from the story of the Bible.
Huh? Yep.
And in the Matrix, there's, you know, everyone basically is living in hell, and they need to be redeemed to be saved. And there's a prophecy of the one who could save them. And you've got Trinity and Nebuchadnezzar and Zion, which is Zion is, you know, paradise, the promised land, whatever.
Cool.
And so the biblical motif is throughout. And,
yes, absolutely. There's definitely just complete religious undertones. I don't think they meant for it to be a Christian feel to
it, but
definitely religious undertones throughout.
Right.
And it continues into Reloaded.
Okay, but, and Jeff, here's, in reality, any sexual use of women in entertainment is wrong, and it should be criminal. And we get used to it. We've gotten used to it, so we're somewhat hardened as a culture.
I agree with you. I don't necessarily see that. You'd have to see it. As far as the nudity goes, it is a little bit gratuitous.
Hey, Jeff, yes. I disagree with you saying you'd have to see it. That's the whole point.
I'm not going to see it.
If the two main characters are having sex in bed, that's wrong to produce, to sell, and to consume.
It should be illegal.
It should be illegal. You don't watch another woman having sex in bed, anywhere. You don't watch that. It's destructive. You know, young guys, not only young, but older guys, but millions of young guys will watch that, and that'll be one of hundreds of similar memories in their mind. Then they'll get married in a few years, and their wife will never be able to measure up to 500 other women they've seen having sex. And so they will desire throughout their life to commit adultery because they've acquired the taste.
Mm. Wow, that's heavy. That is heavy.
Yeah.
That's deeper than the Matrix right there. That is heavy, heavy duty. I doubt that anything like that has ever been said on these airwaves or any others.
Hmm.
You crystallized the argument so precisely. Well, what do you think, Jeff?
I understand what you were saying.
Yeah, I've experienced it, Jeff. I mean, I've lived it. I've been polluted. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, man.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree. But if you're talking about that scene for that movie, it's just you can't analogize it to a porn flick.
That's not my point. My point
is it necessary? Yeah.
Not even if it's necessary. Not even if the whole plot falls apart without it. The point is, it's wrong to watch, you know, other people, women having sex. That's wrong. It's sin. That's what it is. And if you're married and you watch it and it's a good looking woman, you're going to have to struggle with that. It's just reality.
It's the nature of men.
And it's maybe, you know, a guy could argue it's enjoyable. I like it.
Yeah, Mike Rosen would say that.
Yeah, I think I'm strong enough that it doesn't hurt me or my marriage.
Right. Or you, maybe, what it is, they would say, Bob, is that you're just so out of touch with your own sexuality that you struggle with these issues when you should be comfortable with the naked form. And, you know, sex in public should not cause you to.
There should not be public nudity.
Wow.
That should not be. There should not be public nudity.
Yeah. And I agree. I don't think there should be public. I don't think women should be allowed to show their bellies and their belly buttons. That's getting out of hand. I'm telling you, man. You can't walk down the street these days without some little
floozy. The difference between the Taliban and America's culture is the Taliban covered women from head to toe.
Yeah.
America's culture strips them naked and puts a video camera around them 360 degrees and broadcast it. That's the difference.
Yeah, two very extreme.
Right. And the Christian biblical approach is you don't use women sensually or sexually in public, in entertainment, for commerce. It's wrong to sexualize women as a commodity. It's wrong. Jeff, thank you for your call.
Thanks.
So.
Well, I'm not sure if Jeff was on the same page.
Well, you know.
But I was like that years ago. I was completely desensitized, and I would have been shocked to hear that you would say a movie with one scene that's 2 minutes long, that's too much sex. I would have thought, well, this guy's just a prude.
Right.
I'm serious, because I was just like, I mean, I don't know. I was calloused, you know, definitely.
And then, Doug, maybe, you know, I don't want to be as descriptive as ScreenIt.com. But I'll just give you another bullet. They've got under sex and nudity for The Matrix, each bullet tells a different scene or a different, you know, scene probably.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bullets, including one where the camera, I don't even want to tell you what happens with the camera.
We can't even say what the camera does.
No.
But it does something pretty.
It's too despicable even to say.
Yeah, and this isn't the biggest movie in the world. The movie that'll be watched by more people over the next month than any movie probably in the history of movies.
Right, in this amount of time.
That's just crazy.
And kids. And because, you know, the first Matrix was rated R, but for violence.
Yeah.
Because it had, you know, kung fu kicks to the head.
Yeah.
And our kids, if there's a movie with violence in it, that doesn't, to us, say our kids can't see it. It depends. The little kids, you know, we probably wouldn't have the little kids see, you know, a war movie or what's that, Saving Private Ryan?
We wouldn't
have our little kids see that.
No. Might scare them.
Well, it's a bit much, I think.
Yeah, it's a bit much for a little kid.
But our big kids, the violence, that's okay. Just, you know, the sex and nudity and the language, those are the bigger issues.
We'll be right back.
Bob and Yurt Live, our phone number to call in and order the monthly videos or the monthly Bible study album is 1-800-836-9278. And Doug, we have an accountant who's just audited our books.
Uh-oh. It's like an Enron deal?
It was pretty scary.
Oh, no.
But he did say, not that we didn't know this, but he said, it's a good thing you guys have those monthly subscriptions.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
Because that's where the our revenue for this ministry comes in around the 6th of the month when we process everyone's credit cards.
Right.
And people get, you know, for $24.95, they get the monthly sermons or now the monthly videos. For $34.95, they get the monthly Bible study album. And some people get the best 8 shows of the month for $49.95 a month.
Now, let's say someone was already signed up for, say, the Bible study.
Yeah.
Would they be able to sign up for the monthly videos then on top of that?
Oh, yeah. That would be extraordinary.
And then they could sign up on top of that. They could get the best of Bob. So you're not restricted to just one of these, right?
No, and then the monthly sermons.
And then you got the monthly sermons.
Pretty much, it costs more than their mortgage.
Well, it'd only be like $125 bucks a month.
Well, something like that.
Yeah, that's... But, I mean, think about that. You can't. That's lower than a Yugo payment. And keep, you get all this incredible material.
Keep you entertained.
Oh, yeah.
It is fun, really.
Loads of material.
And the videos we have, you know, we've done thousands of shows, radio and TV.
Yeah.
And the ones that we list are obviously the best ones.
Yeah.
And we just had one family over about a one-week period watched all 25 of our videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, was this part of a homeschool project, or did they just got on a roll and they couldn't stop?
No, they actually did it for a project.
Oh, yeah?
It was a project.
Cool.
And they said that it was absolute, and they've seen most of them over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, one every couple months.
Yeah.
Just when it came out. And so they watched all of them, and they said it was absolutely a blast. They totally loved it.
Wow. That's awesome.
So that's encouraging to me, because I haven't seen some of these shows, you know.
You probably haven't seen some of them.
Yeah.
At least not screen them completely.
We get to see some of them, but. And so, anyway, that's encouraging to hear that they're fun, they're entertaining, and they're educational. And it's only $24.95 to get one video every month.
800-836-9278.
one 800 836 9278.
And so we finished the movie reviews.
Yeah.
We finished the bad movie reviews.
Yeah.
Right? That's just sad. But I've got some interesting news, Bob, out of Berkeley. Now, whenever I see Berkeley on a wire story, I always look at the story. Because if Berkeley is involved, and I'm talking about the University of California at Berkeley, you can guarantee that in that story, there's going to be rich and full of material for the program.
Some bizarre.
You just know something that's either disgusting or something else that signals the end of Western civilization is going on at Berkeley.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't that big
of
a deal.
Doug, just when you said disgusting,
oh, no.
Fox News showed Eleanor Clift a headshot.
It was like a cue, on cue. Eleanor
Clift. What is she, a Newsweek?
But move your mic. I haven't seen her in years, Bob. I want to see what she... Oh, man.
She is scary.
And people say... And there are people who are against plastic surgery. And I just say, hey, wait a minute, folks. Let's be reasonable. All right. Now, that's just not... That's gratuitous to talk about Eleanor Clift.
Oh, I thought you meant showing her face.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is gratuitous.
But before we get to Berkeley, I'd rather talk to a guy from South Bend about the Bible. And we got one on the phone. So let's take that call before we get into Berkeley. All right. Because I'd much rather talk about the Bible than Berkeley.
All right, Dean, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
Hey, I was calling up to let you know the good news.
All right, what is it?
I'm Catholic, and I finished reading the Bible from cover to cover today.
Congratulations. Today. When did you start?
Oh, it was about a year and a half ago.
Hey, Doug, that's pretty good.
Dean, you're a Catholic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got Protestant friends that say Catholics never read the Bible.
Oh.
So I was a man on a mission.
You know what it is, Dean? You want it to be the exception that proves the rule.
Well, I tell you, it's a great book.
It is a great
book,
isn't it?
What a tremendous book.
That is great. And Dean, so now not all Catholics, you know, there are ministers who are atheists.
Right.
There are rabbis who are homosexual,
yeah, pagans,
right,
and not all Catholics believe in Jesus Christ and that he died and rose from the dead and trust in him for their salvation.
Right.
But you've called in a few times over the last year, and it seems to me that you're a true Christian who goes to a Catholic church.
Right, and those do exist.
Yeah.
There's
people that
don't believe that.
No. I've met several of them.
Yeah. When I first became a Christian, we were Catholic, our family. And my mother, I remember she was crying one night saying, "We're going to leave the Catholic Church because we're having Bible studies." And I said, "Mom, we will never leave the Catholic Church ever." And then that weekend, I went on a campus life weekend retreat.
Yeah.
And I became a Christian.
Uh-oh.
In 1973.
Bad news for the Catholic Church.
I came home and I said, "Mom, Catholic Church is organized crime. I will never go again." In 1 week.
Bob.
And Dean, I went a couple times. But anyway, yeah,
where's a great place for evangelization? The Catholic Church is a humongous
mission field.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. And there's people that say, "Well, why do you still go there?" And it's like, well, that's a place where you can serve the Lord.
Yeah.
What better place?
It's the same reason we sometimes visit United Methodist Church. There's a lot of people in there who need to be saved.
Now, wait a minute. United Methodist.
Yeah, let's not even compare them to Catholics.
Well, United Methodist is way worse than
the
Catholic
Far
Church.
Worse. And Dean, I didn't want you to don't think that I was lumping you in with the United Methodist.
In fact, Doug,
I would hate you if you did that.
Just tonight, see, more evidence Dean is a true Christian.
There you go. He's willing to hate.
Just tonight. I said to Cheryl, wouldn't it be funny if we took 15 minutes of the show and came on and made believe we were a program by the United Methodists? And we just told the truth about what we really believe.
Bob, I would never buy any of your tickets.
No, but that would be so funny. We could say, "Come visit a United Methodist church. That's where we really promote homosexuality."
That's right. Guys, bring your boyfriends. Girls, bring your girlfriends.
And killing unborn children is one of the sacraments at our church. And godless government schools and communism and socialism. We don't like America. We don't like, freedom and free economics, but we like socialism.
Socialism and sodomy, and we don't like male pastors. We don't like
pornography.
That.
We're all for pornography
all
and
for
shacking
it.
Up. And there's one thing we tolerate everything. We believe in diversity.
Very
there's
diverse.
One thing we hate. If you're a Christian who believes Jesus Christ rose from the dead, go to a different church. We don't want you at our church.
That old fairy tale.
But if you read the Quran, if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu,
all well.
You're
bring your
welcome.
Cows. Bring your cows in. Go ahead. Bring
right,
the Quran.
But if you're a heterosexual Christian who believes Jesus rose from the dead, you go to some bigoted church.
That's
don't
right.
come to our church.
Go hang out with the Baptists.
Because we're the United Methodists.
Bob, that's enough to make me not hungry, and I haven't eaten. that's really sick.
That's sick.
That's what they're all about. You should visit one of their churches someday.
Maybe next Friday night we'll do a segment called "Come Visit Us at Your Local United Methodist Church."
Come visit the United Methodist Church. If you're pregnant, we can talk you through that abortion. Boys, bring your boyfriends. Girls, bring your girlfriends. Anyway, we could definitely come up with something on that.
Let's do it next Friday
next
night.
Next Friday night,
let's do a whole segment. Trick people in the audience into thinking we're a United Methodist program.
Okay, I'll work on my lisp.
All right.
We'll do that.
Bob?
Yeah. Yes, Dean?
I read in the religious section of the Elkhart Truth, or the religion section.
Yeah.
And on the front page of it, they were talking about one of the Lutheran branches is they're debating about homos being like full-fledged members and stuff, or members in good standing.
Yeah.
And it's just like in the Elkhart Truth, a conservative paper compared to the South Bend Filth, the South Bend Tribune,
yeah.
And it's just amazing that they even can, that Christians would even consider that.
Well, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
That's the Catholic seminaries back in the 50s decided to admit homosexuals to welcome them into the seminaries as long as they would take a vow of celibacy.
Oh, yeah, that old vow of celibacy.
Which meant as soon as they graduated from the seminary, they had to stop having sex with other men.
Right.
That's what that vow meant.
Well, they called some of the seminaries feminaries.
Feminaries.
Did you know that?
I never heard that.
That's an inside Catholic thing. We only get that from a guy like Dean, right?
Otherwise, we wouldn't. Now, we call them cemeteries.
Feminaries
is a bit better.
That's pretty good, Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And Dean, we should be talking about you reading through the whole Bible.
Yeah, you read, finished the whole Bible. Hey, Dean, who wins in the end? I haven't ever made it to the end.
Who wins in the end?
I'm just kidding.
God versus his enemies.
That's a good answer, Dean says. You need to read it. Way to go, Dean. You passed the test.
All right. Thank you, Dean.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I heard you were going off the air in South Bend.
We are. It's so sad. Because South Bend is like my home away from home.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, unless you and several friends, Dean, can come up with about $10,000 a month.
Actually, we're pretty much going off the air. I didn't want to do. We sent our cancellation notice.
Oh, we've already.
Undoubtedly, WHME is trying to resell the time right now, starting June 1st in South Bend.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we decided not to say if we could raise this much in pledges, we'll stay on. We're just going off.
Dean, just send us the $10,000. We'll use it for something else. And you can listen on the internet.
But you know what I did is I bought a bunch of video fruitcakes, and I passed them out and gave them to people who I thought could really appreciate it.
All right.
Dean, thank you. That helps tremendously.
God bless, Dean.
I appreciate your call. Call us again even once we go off the air.
Okay, Bob. It's been a pleasure meeting you, too, because I've met you before.
We met at what? It must be at the seminars we've had in South Bend.
Yeah, and I met you down at Mars Hill Church 2 or 3 years ago, too. Yeah.
Wow, that was way down in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, wonderful seminars you put on.
Thank you, Dean, so very much. Appreciate that. Nice guy. Doug, our seminars, cool. We got them all on audio tape.
We got all the seminars on audio tape.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are there? There's
the plot, the overview of the whole Bible.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Tremendous.
The tree. The tree is fun.
Right? Now, is that the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, the tree of life goes to heaven.
Tree of life goes to heaven.
That's where it was in the Garden of Eden.
That's right. It's in Revelation. It talks about the fruits come
ripe. It was
ripe.
In the Garden of Eden, and God put angels to guard the way into the Garden of Eden so nobody could get in there.
Right.
And it was in the Garden of Eden for about 1,600 years.
Hmm.
And then at that point, God took it to heaven.
Yeah.
And it's really fun, the whole story.
1,600 years. Oh, I got to get that.
The whole story.
I got to go through the tree thing again.
But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, whatever happened to that tree? Now that's a story.
Now, Bob, that's a tree that not too many people talk all that much about or think all that much about.
Yeah, I know. And it's really the crux of the whole human condition.
Really?
And the Bible has a whole chapter about what happened to that tree at the end. It's so much fun to read.
That is, you know, and the United Methodists, they think that that tree is just a mythical tree. It's like, that's the only myth that it's just below the myth of that whole resurrection thing at their church. But it's not a myth, is it? That tree wasn't a myth. It was an actual tree.
Two of my sons went to the Arvada United Methodist for Easter Resurrection Sunday
Sunday at the United Methodist Church
of Arvada.
Oh, wow.
And what the minister said was that he was ashamed that the Bible had the story of the resurrection in it. He was embarrassed by the story.
Get out. And then he announced the all-gay boys choir to sing praises to whatever.
To Gaia. Right after this. Now, Doug, the last 2 weeks I've been working on the script.
The script.
Which is the sequel to the plot.
Yeah.
It could be a prequel, really.
Yeah, that's what you should do. That's become more, much more chic, is to release a prequel after.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, how you should go with the marketing strategy.
C.S. Lewis started that, right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, he did that with the Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, yeah, I read those.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then eventually The Magician's Nephew was the prequel.
Oh, yeah.
But really, God did it first. He released Job, and then Genesis.
Oh, yeah. So there's nothing new under the sun.
No,
and
there
I was
is.
Thinking, like, my whole frame of reference goes back to Star Wars. So I'm pretty shallow as far as that. But that's great. It's actually the Bible.
Yeah.
Job, then Genesis later.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So, but the plot, 330-page unpublished manuscript, best-selling manuscript.
Yeah.
Well, that's if you look at just the titles we sell.
Well, yeah, among the titles and among unpublished titles in general,
it's unpublished.
Toward the top of the list.
Yeah, I would think so because it sold thousands of copies. The plot,
many
and
thousands.
The average book doesn't sell 3,000 copies.
No,
the average book. And so for an unpublished manuscript, 330 pages, to sell, we've sold about 3,000 copies.
Wow.
That's it's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, you'd think some publisher would take note of that at some point.
Yeah, we have some publishers that have said they, you know, they keep – I feel like Charlie Brown and Lucy, where she holds the football.
Yeah.
And he says, "You're not going to move it this time, are you?" Lucy, "No, I'm going to hold it." And then she pulls it away. And that's what, you know, one publisher. I should tell the audience who it is.
Yeah, you were close with one publisher.
In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And let's see, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Whitaker House.
Whitaker House, right.
Whitaker House.
You had a signed agreement.
Now, we had a signed contract with Whitaker House. And they were, their copy editor was going through it and got to chapter 10 and about had a heart attack.
So the
president at Whitaker House called me up, said, "Bob, my family and I, we love your show.
Yeah.
We're big fans for years of your show. We wanted to publish your book. We have a signed contract, but we don't want to publish it."
Yeah.
Chapter 10 is just more than we can deal with. So anyway, so fine. And then in the last 2 years, twice, they said they were going to publish it, back down again.
Hell. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, Bob, by the way, folks, this is Bob Enyart Live. The number to call is 1-800-836-9278. If you want to participate in the program, 800-836-9278.
Yeah.
About the plot, which we just did a commercial in our commercial break that a lot of people out in the broadcast medium, they
don't hear.
They didn't hear that.
On KGov.com,
right.
People hear
they
everything.
So the plot, the unpublished manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible, tremendous resource, and you sell it for what, $100 a copy?
No, only $49.95
a copy. Anyway, and you can order that at 1-800-836-9278. But the plot hasn't been published, and we were just talking about that, and I'm thinking, what if you drop chapter 10, just dropped it?
Just drop it.
And re-release
we had
it.
We had a signed contract with a major publisher.
I remember. Believe me.
A tier two publisher. A publisher that has sold millions and millions of books.
Yeah.
And their copy editor was going through and got to chapter 10 and about had a heart attack. And the president of the publishing house called me up and said, "Bob, we love your show. Our family's watched your show for years. We just can't publish this."
So what is chapter 10 the part where you deny the deity of Christ or you say that the resurrection?
Of course not.
Well, what is it that could cause a Christian publisher to decide not to publish your Christian book? You know what? People have to buy the plot.
And find out. But don't read chapter 10 first.
Don't read chapter 10 first.
Don't do that.
In fact,
if you do that, I'll be mad. In fact, that will void the money back guarantee.
That's right. That voids the warrant, the guarantee.
Warranty.
But Bob, I got to admit
that
I've given the plot without chapter 10 to a couple people.
Oh, you have?
I've given the whole plot to people.
That
don't
guarantees they won't read chapter 10 first.
Right. But I haven't had much success at getting people to change their ideas about the Bible. But I think I've approached too many old people. Mm. I need to get them when they're younger. I mean, you go after a guy in his 60s, you know, he's not going to change his mind. And he's already saved,
if
so I'm not going to beat him over the head with it.
If he's a teacher or a pastor, then it's about impossible.
It's just about impossible. It's like banging your head up against a brick wall.
Yeah.
And anyway.
We had a pastor in southern Indiana last week tell me he ordered 5 more plots. They use them in their Sunday school.
All right.
And that's real neat.
Yeah.
Bedford, Indiana.
Grace, young pastor?
A Bible church. He's probably about 50. Don't tell him I said that.
Okay.
He's probably about 50.
All right.
Pastor, if you're listening, sorry, I'm not good at guessing.
And now, so he wasn't aware of some of the ideas that you put forward in the plot before he read it?
Well, I think he was sort of there, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we think we have a good rate of conversion with people who read, who actually read the manuscript.
And you know what I've found, Bob, is that people who've actually read the Bible have a lot easier time with the manuscript than people who may not be as familiar with the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
People who've actually read it through a couple times and They say, you know, oh, I know it's a great book, but there are certain parts that just drive me insane.
Why are all these contradictions in the Bible?
Right.
People wonder. And then you find out. You got to unlearn some of the cliches we've learned that are wrong.
Yeah.
And just let the Bible story speak for itself, and it's really extraordinary.
Well, good luck. That's why I'm glad you wrote the plot, because I can stop banging my head against the wall. Just give them the plot, and then you're on your own. You know, you've been given the best advice I can give you. Now, please call 800-836-9278 and order a plot today and give it to someone. Mm. Yeah, that way you don't have to bang your head up against a brick wall. So, Bob, we need to get back to Berkeley.
Yeah.
People are on the edge of their seats, because whenever you mention Berkeley,
yeah,
you know it's going to be, well, entertaining at the very least. So the kids up at Berkeley, the university students there, they are angry at the Daily Californian. That's the student newspaper. They're mm-hmm. angry at the editor there. And the reason is that, the Californian, that's the newspaper, reports that a group of black students crammed its offices, complaining that it had the nerve to publish a picture of a black football player accused of fracturing a student's skull with a bottle. Now, the black students...
Wait. So they showed a picture of a black student who's accused of cracking some guy's skull.
With a bottle.
And
which, that's news, right? I mean, a guy hits another guy.
Yeah, and so they're saying it's not true? It was trumped up charges?
Oh, no. The charges are... They never brought that up. Obviously, the charges are accurate, or at least there's a case to be made. Oh. The students said that by running the picture, the newspaper was perpetuating a negative, stereotypical image of African Americans.
Just by saying that, just by doing the news story?
Right.
That's it?
Well, they didn't have to put that picture up there of that black guy.
So they're trying to redo the New York Times scandal all over again? If it's a black guy who's committing crimes,
right.
Don't say anything. Right. Don't tell anybody.
Let's put up a composite sketch of Timothy McVeigh and just say that we don't know who did it.
Right, exactly. Doug, that's so ridiculous.
So, they're not mad that this guy was wrongly accused.
And they're not mad that this guy cracked some other person's skull. They're not mad about that.
No.
They're mad that the newspaper ran a story.
And
the editor
wonders out loud that why the students how come the alleged crime itself didn't offend them and contribute to the perpetuation of negative stereotypical images?
Right. The crowd of protesters should be outside the dorm of that
right.
black student who probably has not been suspended.
He's a football player, Bob.
Saying, "Get out of our school! You're hurting the image of black students at Berkeley."
Hey, wait a minute. Berkeley doesn't have a football team.
No, they don't.
That must be a typo.
Hey, Doug, that does remind me of something, though.
What's that?
On the Bob and Your Life TV show 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When we were talking about evolution for about a month straight.
Oh, yeah.
And the Denver Post had a full page picture of a face of like a Cro-Magnon man or something.
Yeah, Neanderthal or
something.
And so
we're
like
zoomed into it, and I'm talking the whole show. I'm got this picture full screen talking about how that doesn't prove evolution, and they could just
you can't
just
look at these eyebrows, artist, or the foreheads,
artist rendition. It's all
right.
That doesn't prove evolution.
Yeah.
And so some guy calls in and said, "Bob, that picture in the Denver Post today, that's one of the Denver Nuggets." It's a basketball player. It's a professional basketball player. It's
not a Cro-Magnon man. We are in trouble now.
What are you talking about? And I open up inside the paper, and it was. It was one of the Nuggets.
1-800-836.
But it looked like, anybody could have made a mistake. It looked like a picture from an evolution textbook.
1-800-836-9278. If you're outraged, give us a call. 1-800-836-9278. That is funny.
That is fun. And that's how stupid the evolutionary textbooks are.
Right. That does not dilute the fact that the evolutionary textbooks are full of lies and cartoons.
No.
It was just a simple mistake on your part. That's all.
If you think about a grasshopper becoming, what do? They metamorphosize?
They molt and they metamorphosize into a... No, wait a minute.
A butterfly.
No, it's not a grasshopper.
A caterpillar.
Worm. A caterpillar, yeah.
Caterpillar becomes a butterfly.
Yep.
You know, it spins that little cocoon.
Yeah.
And then all its organs and all its innards become like this goo.
Yeah.
This
mush.
Homogeneous goo.
Yeah.
And then they start to reform into the organs and the innards of a butterfly.
That's incredible. It's now, incredible.
How does that evolve by chance and all the while remain a viable organism?
Yeah.
To be an evolutionist, there's only one thing necessary.
What's that?
You have to be a moron. You have to be a moron.
That's awfully judgmental of you, Bob. There's a lot of good people who are evolutionists. They're good people.
They're morons. You have to be a moron to think that that could happen by chance. Could you imagine on Judgment Day when these people are going to hell and God says, well, what evidence did you have to believe that all this complexity could happen by chance? What evidence do you have?
Well, I read it in my eighth grade biology textbook.
What evidence? And they're going to have, on Judgment Day, they're going to have no evidence.
They're going to. What, are you going to try to show the cartoons that were in your eighth grade book? You're going to try to show those to God and say, well, here, and he'll say it was a cartoon.
Yeah, how did fly evolve? And they say squirrels were jumping after insects off of branches and trees.
And they splattered on the ground for hundreds of thousands of years until.
Until what? And how did the insects, how did they start flying? Why are the squirrels jumping after anything
well,
to start
with? Well,
they
were originally just running after each other for millions of years.
And then they say that, you know, the dinosaurs evolved from birds.
Yeah, that's right.
Or no, no.
Yeah, well, no, that's gone back and forth a couple times.
Evolved from dinosaurs.
Well,
that's it.
I think it used to be the other way, but then they've swapped them out here in the last few years.
Well, I think they say birds evolved from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say? Yeah, that's what they say.
All right.
Except that the main dinosaurs that supposedly evolved into birds, that we have their fossils that exist 25 million years after the birds.
That's a difficult
You got the birds, and 25 million years later, you have the fossils of the dinosaurs appearing that supposedly evolved into the birds.
Yeah.
25 million years earlier.
But that's okay. They're able to explain their way out of those type of things.
Right.
Because they have a really stupid audience.
Yeah, they do. Let's go to Florida real quick. David, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. I was just watching or listening to another website the other day, and they were talking about the Cro-Magnon man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's evidence now from x-rays that Cro-Magnon man is just a very old man, maybe 400 or 500 years old, because your facial bones never quit growing.
Mm.
So now they're saying there's evidence that that proves that that man did live a long time
ago.
Well,
now, was that a Christian show you were watching?
Yeah, well, I got it off of D. James Kennedy's website.
You know what? D. James Kennedy is fabulously reliable.
He's pretty good.
Yes, he is.
He really is.
Him.
He's one of the absolute best Christian broadcasters and ministries.
Hey, wouldn't that be neat if we found a skull that was like 300 years old or that suggested it was? That'd be cool.
You'll have to go on his website and research it a little bit. Just, you know.
All right. Well, thanks for the heads up, or heads down, or heads elongated, whatever it is.
There you go.
I'm not sure, but thank you for your call. All right. So, Doug, we're out of time.
Well, it's been a fun time, Bob. I always love doing the show with you, and I appreciate you letting me sit in.
Where does the hour go? And then next week, we're going to have to do the come visit us at your local United Methodist.
The United Methodist Church. We love everyone. All right.
That'd be good.
Yeah, yeah.
We should do that. We should, you know, because...
Do we have to wear the robes, the red and white thing? Nah, we won't go that far.
We're not in the choir.
That's right. It's radio.
It's radio. We'll put it on the web.
We'll act like we're
dressed
up.
Let's put robes. Let's get Erica Tormson at Theology Online to put robes on us on our pictures on KGov for next Friday night.
What a kick. That'll be fun.
Hey, speaking of Theology Online, Doug, next month I'm in a battle royale with the resident atheist on Does God Exist?
He's mincemeat. He's mincemeat.
Theology Online. It'll be fun. Thanks, Doug. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.